Chapter 251. Sean nodded before he picked up the knife by the side. Throw this away. From now on, no sharp objects are allowed inside the ward. Absolutely none. He had known that Gail had hidden a knife under her pillow for a long time. However, he had said nothing about it and had not taken it away. That was because Sean felt he would give her a chance since she wanted to kill him with it. He never expected that, at the last moment, Gail would turn the knife in another direction, piercing herself instead of him. Sean's hand was wrapped in a thick layer of bandages. Even so, blood still stained the bandages red. I couldn't kill you, and you won't let me die, Sean. Do you just want the two of us to continue fighting like this our whole lives? Gail spoke softly. Yes. Why? He said in a deep voice, because you need to be by my side. Gail bit her lower lip. But I don't love you. I hate you. I can't bear your love at all. You can hate me if you want to. All I need is to love you. Gail asked, aren't you worried that I'll point a knife at your heart again one day? Hearing that, Sean laughed. I should remind you of something. Unless I want to, no one can harm me. Gail, you were only able to harm me this time because I allowed it, understood? Sean, does always being in control feel great? Gail stared right at him. Nothing could escape his control. There was nothing his eyes could not see. There were no surprises and no mistakes. Did it really feel that great? I can't control you. Gail, you're the only exception in my life, Sean answered. He stood up and met her gaze. I already gave you a chance to kill me and take away my heart. You didn't take the chance, so, there won't be another chance. Gail, next, I will take away your heart. Sean's tone was incredibly confident and relaxed. Gail picked up the pillow and threw it at him. I don't want to see you. Sean, you're a demon. An evil demon. You have your entire life to feel this demon's love. Sean left. The sounds of his footsteps got more and more distant. Yet, there were double the guards at the door. Two servants entered the ward, taking care of Gail the whole time. In truth, they were keeping an eye on her. Gail had completely become a caged bird. She had no freedom, nor did she have any dreams. She was forced to live in Sean's world. Gail stood in front of the mirror, looking at the wound on her neck. It was very light. She was completely fine. In truth, she did not want to die. She just wanted to see how Sean would react. She wanted to see what his love was like. Unexpectedly, he had reached out to grab the blade to stop her from dying. Sean. Do you love me that much? Then, your love will become my weapon. The weapon I'll use to hurt you, Gail said to herself. Her fingertip brushed past that wound lightly. Without her child, all she wanted was revenge, to find out the truth and seize the peaceful life that Chao LD have been hers back. She would not love Sean. How could she fall in love with a demon? Chapter 252. The front desk was stunned when Sean appeared at the entrance of the company. M.R., he still had that blue shirt on, which was stained with blood. He had a bandage on his hand, and his expression was incredibly dark. he looked like. He had just killed someone. Mr. Wood. Fiona hurried over in a panic. You. Ah, this be, blood. Sean looked at her coldly. He went back to the president's office and got a change of clothes from the lounge. After that, he went right to work. Fiona said, Mr. Wood, your hand. You should rest. You can dictate, and I'll help you write everything down. Sean said calmly, it's not broken. I'm not a cripple. Oh. Mr. Wood, you have such a good mentality. If a normal person got hurt like that, they would already be considered quite strong if they were not crying their hearts out. It's because this was in exchange for her safety. It was worth it. Sean opened his palm. Fiona did not understand, but she did not ask any further. However, Fiona knew that the woman being referred to was probably Gail. Call Joe here. Yes. Joe had already been struggling to hold back. The moment Fiona notified him, he quickly took the elevator to the top floor. Sean, you're looking for me? Are you planning on staying in the hospital for the next few days? Joe is scared. No, I'll be at the office as usual. I'll only be at the hospital if I'm free. You're not planning on keeping Gail company? Sean paused for a moment before answering, she'll only feel annoyed looking at me. It was better for him not to go there that frequently. At least he would not be an eyesore. Tragic, how tragic. Sean, if only you knew this would happen, then you wouldn't have done everything you did in the past, Joe said while crossing his arms. Sean signed a document in frustration. Joe continued, look at your hand. What happened? It's completely wrapped up. It looks like you must have been hurt quite badly. Shut up. I refuse. The wound on this hand is still visible. What about the wounds in your heart? Who knows about them? Who cares about them? You'd better deal with them slowly by yourself. After knowing each other for so many years, Joe naturally understood how Sean was. He loved to talk about things that other people would not dare to. The more he hit on the points that hurt Sean, the more Sean would remember them. I told you before this. If you like her, you like her. If you love her, you love her. It's normal for a man to fall in love with a woman. What's there to be embarrassed about? In the end, you insisted on, Joe sighed. I got rid of her child because I wanted a fresh start with her. That's her life. How do you think it would start? Sean rebutted, then am I supposed to just accept that bastard child? Oh, that's where you do not understand things. You can go investigate. Use all of your connections and networks to look into who that child belonged to. You could even slander the man and paint him in a bad light so Gail would give up. She might even willingly abort the child. Yet, you chose the worst option. I don't have the patience. And what are you going to do with this current situation? Sean rubbed his forehead. I'll deal with things as they come. After a few moments of silence, Sean asked again, do you have any ideas? Yo, you've finally realized that I'm a worthy strategist. Joe's tail started to wag. Sean let out a mocking laugh. If you're so good with girls, Why haven't you settled Summer yet? What does she have to do with anything? You don't want her? She's constantly going against me. If it weren't for you, I'd have already chased her out of Sea City. Sean asked. Joe coughed. We're going off topic. Let's talk about you and Gail first. Chapter 253. Sean leaned into his chair with a tired expression. I would recommend that you completely cut your ties with Susan first. Women need a sense of security the most. A firm choice would show your love. If you want a future with Gail, you have to cut things off with Susan completely, Joe said. Sean remained silent. Could you like them both? Do you want one woman in each hand? Surely not, Sean. With Susan C's character and personality. You'd only like her if you're blind. I understand. You can go, Sean said. Joe was speechless. Haha, he was being chased out the moment Sean was done using him. Scumbag. You're still not going? Do you want to stay for a meeting? Maybe you want to see a client or go on a Bulletinsinus trip? Sean asked. Joe disappeared in a flash. Sean got up and walked to the balcony. He lit a cigarette and slowly smoked it. Sean only left the company at 10 in the night. Mr. Wood, you need to change the dressings on your hand, prepare the car. We're going to Riverview. Have the doctor change it in the car, he ordered. On the way, Sean shut his eyes to rest. The doctor quietly changed the medicine and bandages for him. The atmosphere was scarily silent. In the room, Susan sat in front of the dresser. She stared right at the expensive wedding ring with greed in her eyes. How could she be willing to leave Sean? Power, status, money, and looks of admiration from the women of Sea City. Those were all the things she wanted the most. She would definitely rise again. Gail would not defeat her. Ding dong. The doorbell rang. Susan thought Dean had arrived, so she put down the ring and hurried over to open the door. When she saw that it was Sean, she was pleasantly surprised. Mr. Wood. Ah. Why is your hand injured? Sean walked into the living room silently. He undid his tie and lit another cigarette. Susan felt like his expression was quite sour. He did not look like he was in a good mood, so she did not really dare to speak too much. Are you used to staying here? Do you like the place? Sean asked. Yes, I like everything you give me. I'll give this place to you. I'll sign it over to your name. Susan hurriedly nodded. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wood. She was elated. The house was worth millions. It was proof of wealth. Mr. Wood was so generous. Susan thought that Sean was doing that because he felt sorry. After all, she had been treated incredibly coldly the past few days and had been violently bullied by Gail. Susan sat next to him and held his arm. Mr. Wood, what happened previously was my fault. I shouldn't have let my emotions control me. I admit my mistakes. I apologize. I'll definitely stay by your side wholeheartedly in the future. Saying that, she deliberately leaned into his arm. Sean pushed her aside. There's no need. Susan was stunned. What? What do you want? Tell me everything. I'll do my best to satisfy all your material needs. Sean took another smoke. Material? Then, what about her emotional needs? Her status and position? Susan felt like something was off. Mr. Wood, what do you mean by this? You suffered that night, so you should be compensated. Today, we'll resolve the matter. Chapter 254. Sean was there to cut ties. Joe was right. Since he had no feelings for Susan and only gratitude, he should have cut ties quickly. Love was love. Gratitude was gratitude. If he wanted things to last long with Gail, Susan needed to disappear. Susan could not believe her ears. Mr. Wood, you want to chase me away. You'll get what you want. Tell me all your requests. I'll agree to it all. Money and assets were all unimportant things to Sean. He would give whatever Susan wanted to her. It was what Susan deserved. Paula would have gotten what she wanted if Susan had not been there that night. No, no, I don't want anything. All I want is you. Mr. Wood, I don't want the house, and I don't want any money. Just let me stay by your side. I can't lose you, Susan said while frantically shaking her head. Susan did not know how the situation ended up like that. After the fake pregnancy was exposed, Sean was furious. She knew that, so she had constantly been apologizing with Gail's child also out of the picture. She had thought that she would not need to worry anymore, yet. Sean was actually planning on abandoning her. You, Susan asked reluctantly, why? Mr. Wood. I admitted my mistakes. I've reflected on them. I won't cause trouble with Gail anymore, so why won't you forgive me? I've always loved you. Sean's expression was cold. I don't like wasting too much time on one thing. He raised his wrist to look at the time. He wanted to deal with this quickly. The quicker, the better. It was because he wanted to see Gail at the hospital. Sean's actions caused an intense sense of danger in Susan. Mr. Wood, are you punishing me for my fake miscarriage? What about Gail? She had a bastard son. Do you not mind? Susan said tearfully. The child is already gone. She's not pure or clean. That's the truth. Sean answered, her child was conceived before she married me. Pausing, he suddenly thought of something. Gail had been in the mental hospital the whole time, never going out. How could she be involved with another man, and how did she get pregnant? Did someone force her at the mental hospital? It's because she's a cheap lady. She went around seducing some wild men, which was how she got pregnant. Sean's expression sank. Gail isn't like that. Even though he had said similar things to hurt Gail before, those were all said in anger. Gail would have jumped into his bed early if Gail really was a woman like that. She would not have rejected him and been afraid every time he wanted to kiss her or wanted her body. Susan clenched her hands tightly. She asked, Mr. Wood, could you have fallen for Gail? Yes, Sean answered without any hesitation. You love her. Susan was dumbfounded. You actually fell for Gail. That's right. Susan could not believe that after Gail's child was finally removed, Gail had gotten Sean's love and pity. Did she not just shoot herself on her own foot? Mr. Wood, she had a child out of wedlock. She's unclean. She's Peter Worm's daughter. There's so much hatred between you two. How could you love her? Susan said. Sean extinguished the cigarette and said, I don't need you to tell me about our relationship. Tell me why our conditions. He was incredibly impatient. One, he had wasted too much time here. It meant that he would only be able to see Gail later. Chapter 255. He had started to miss her. That was despite the fact that his hand had almost been crippled because of her. Susan refused to relent. My conditions are to stay by your side. Mr. Wood, I don't want anything else. She was no ID asterisk OT. She needed the chicken to lay the eggs. Materialistic gains were all eggs. Once she asked, she would get no more. If she stayed by Sean's side, she would always get whatever she wanted. Okay, Sean said suddenly. Susan was stunned for a moment before she said happily, Mr. Wood, I knew you still loved me. If you don't want it, then I guess you don't want anything. I'll agree to it. Move out tomorrow, Sean essayed. What? I respect your wishes. You said you didn't want anything yourself. Sean got up and started to walk out. He did not have the time to waste on this. Mr. Wood, Mr. Wood. Susan panicked and hurriedly pulled at him. I really do love you, Sean asked her directly, is there something you want? Susan clenched her teeth and said, I do. Other than this house, I want a villa in the suburbs and a house in the school district at the city center. I also want a car and $15 million in cash. Since things were already at that stage, Susan felt like she needed to start thinking about herself. With houses, a car, and $15 million, she would be able to live the rest of her life without any worries. Sean already knew that she would have requested. He knew that she had just been pretending to be deeply in love earlier. The moment he said he would take everything back, not giving her a single thing, Susan immediately started to blurt out her requests. To Sean, he could absolutely give all of that to her. Okay. I'll have Fiona deal with it. She'll handle the handing over of the houses, and she'll have $15 million transferred to your account, Sean answered. Only then did Susan breathe a sigh of relief. At least Susan managed to get so much money. She started to calm down. However, she still put on an act as she said, Mr. Wood, I don't know what love potion Gail gave you for you to be so infatuated, but I want to say this. I'll always be waiting for you here. If you ever remember me one day, you can come back for me at any time. Sean was devoid of any emotion as he headed out. Susan sent him to the elevator, looking incredibly reluctant as she said, Mr. Wood, I'll wait for you to come back. Sean said nothing. The elevator closed, and Susan's expression suddenly changed. What a nice trick. Gail. However, did Gail think that she would be defeated just like that? What a joke. Gail's child was already gone. Sean's child was as well. They were the ones that were pitiful. Ha ha, Th is such good news. I should share it with even more people. Just wait. Susan said through clenched teeth. She still had a trump card to eliminate Gale completely. She was not pitiful. She had gotten so many assets and so much money. The pitiful ones were Gale and S. Han. They lost their child but did not even know it. The car was already waiting below. Sean S.A. Chapter 256. She acted like he was not there. I haven't eaten yet, Gale said. Oh. He frowned. Can't you show some consideration? He had been busy with work and dealing with Susan's affairs. After that, he hurried over to see her. She did not seem happy about it at all. There are many women who would be considerate toward you. There are plenty of women who would do anything for you. Why would you ask me for something I won't give you? Gale said. She was the only one who would dare to rebuke Sean like that. The servants overheard their conversation and were too scared to even breathe. The servants quietly produced a new set of cutlery. Sean ate in an elegant manner. Even his appetite was better by her side. Gale suddenly thought of something and said, "Oh, that's right. Let's get a divorce." 115-16 His hand suddenly stopped as his expression darkened at a noticeable pace. "I don't have my child anymore, so your family won't look at me favorably anymore. You can marry Susan now. Our marriage can come to an end now," Gale said. "I would advise you to retract your words." Gale continued, "We already signed the agreement. We agreed to 3 months. There's a cooling off period before we can get a divorce. If we apply for it a month earlier, the timing would be perfect." Sean slammed the cutlery onto the table loudly. "What are you being so angry about?" Gale looked at him. "You were the one who drew up the agreement and made me sign in. Why do you insist on provoking me? I'm just reminding you of what you did in the past." After saying that, Gale continued to eat. Just as her spoon was about to reach her plate, Sean raised his hand and flipped the table over. The food was no longer edible. "Gale, do you not want your days to go by pleasantly? I haven't had a pleasant day since you appeared in my life. The past is in the past. There's still the future." Gale clenched her teeth and suddenly threw the cutlery aside. She looked right at Sean and said, "The past? You're telling me about the past? It's easy for you to say. You didn't spend 2 years in a mental hospital. You were not tortured. You weren't treated like a dog, eating leftovers and sleeping on the floor. That's because I didn't know I would fall in love with you then." "Ha, so love can resolve everything? Just because you love me, I'm supposed to forget all about the torture I've suffered in the past and be with you? Why? Just why?" Sean could love on a whim, hate on a whim, and torture on a whim. Was she supposed to accept that? Sean stared at her. It felt like fire was about to shoot out of his eyes. Every time, he would be thoroughly infuriated by Gale. One day, she would be the death of him. An angry Sean was incredibly terrifying. Gale was worried that she would end up suffering for provoking him as well. However, Sean's tone was incredibly calm. "Okay, I can give you time for you to let things go. What do you want?" "State your conditions," Sean said. "I want a divorce." "Impossible." Gail said, "I want you to release my father." "Impossible." Gail scoffed. "Everything's impossible. There's nothing to talk about then. Don't ask for too much. Everything you mentioned crosses the line." Sean said. "I knew you wouldn't agree to them. I mentioned those conditions on purpose." Chapter 257. Gail. She laughed and said, "I wanted to show you that what you give is never what I want. You're never able to give me the things that I want." Even if Sean agreed to release her father because he loved her, Gail would not accept it. What she wanted was for her father to have true freedom. She wanted him to be clear of any crimes. She did not want her father to be released without an explanation because of Sean's love. Sean pulled at his tie as he gulped. He could not give her what she wanted. What a joke. He was at the peak of power. He could get anything he wanted. How could he not be able to give Gail what she wanted? Yet, he could not. "Be good, Gail. Give me some conditions that I'll agree to. It'll only be good for you. Don't try to take the world in one day," Sean said. Anton Gail lowered her gaze and replied, "I'm not full yet. I want to eat. Have someone buy a new meal. I want to leave the hospital. I want to go back to the company to work," Gail said. "Of course, once you're better." She nodded silently, not saying anything. Her eyes fell on the bandage on Sean's hand. Her lips curled up into a mocking smile. Gail's finger pointed right at his palm. "It would be great if your hand were actually broken. It's a pity that the knife was too small. It wasn't long enough. You're such a sinister woman. Who asked you to stop me from piercing myself?" Sean grabbed onto her hand and pulled her into his arms, circling his arms around her waist. Gail sat on his leg. Their faces were incredibly close to each other. "Your life is mine. You're not allowed to die unless I agree to it. If I want you to live, you'll have to live even if I sacrifice myself," Sean said. How high-handed were those words? Gail looked at the man in front of her. His eyes were sharp, and they sparkled, looking incredibly handsome. He was refined and powerful. He was the dream lover of countless women. If she liked him, she might have felt touched by those words. Yet, how was she supposed to like him? He was the man who shattered her family. He was the man who threw her into a mental hospital. He was the man who took away her child. How was she supposed to love him? Even if she did, Gail would not admit it. She would firmly suppress that love. He was a demon. The demon had fallen in love with her. Was she supposed to love a demon? Gail looked away, no longer looking at Sean. If she continued looking, she might become ensnared. "Why are you looking away from me?" Sean leaned closer into her. His nose brushed against her face. "Gail, deep in your heart, you actually have feelings for me, right?" She immediately denied it. "No." "Then look into my eyes." Gail stubbornly said, "Look at you. I'm worried that I'll be tempted to kill you." Sean smirked. "No, you weren't able to do it even with the knife pointed right at my heart. The knife did not go deeper at all. His lips slowly got closer. "So, Gail, you do have me in your heart?" "No," the moment she started to speak, he fiercely kissed her lips. Sean did it on purpose. He waited for her to speak before he kissed her. That way, he could easily open up her lips to go further. At that moment, Gail sat on his legs. Her whole body was in his control. Slowly, Sean's breathing got rougher. His hands started to wander as well. "Sean, you let go." "Ugh." Gail noticed that something was wrong and immediately struggled. His body got hotter and hotter. Even the legs she sat on felt like they were burning. Chapter 258. She only had a hospital gown on. He could easily open her buttons. "You're really something else," Sean said after sucking on her lips. "How alluring can you be?" Every time he kissed her, Sean would need a cold shower to return his body temperature to normal. That time was naturally no exception. Gail put her hand on his chest. "Stop messing around. This isn't somewhere you can satisfy your libido." It was a hospital ward. She had just gone through an abortion. Sean looked at her and said, "There's still plenty of time. I'm in no hurry. There will be plenty of chances in the future." Gail answered resolutely, "There won't be any chances in the future. We'll get a divorce. As long as I refuse, you'll never be able to leave me." "Sean. Why? You're shameless." He grabbed onto her waist, pulling her harder toward him. He said into her ear, "Not only that, Gail. I want you to submit to me too willingly. Never going to happen. It'll happen one day." Sean's finger suddenly landed on the wound on her neck, touching it gently. It caused Gail to feel ticklish there, and she felt goosebumps all over her body. The next second, Sean's actions caused Gail to freeze completely. His lips kissed the wound on her neck. It caused Gail to lift her head up, clearly feeling his actions. He even started to lick it. It made Gail tremble all over. She could not stop herself from crying out and begging for mercy. "Sean, don't do this." Her slender neck was raised high up, and it looked as beautiful as a painting. "Gail, your body and heart will be mine one day." Sean picked her up and put her on the bed before going to the bathroom. He took a cold shower to calm down. Gail sat on the bed and subconsciously touched the wound on her neck. It seemed to still have some of his heat on it, his breath. After a while, Gail snapped back to reality, stunned. What was she doing? Was she actually thinking back to the kiss earlier? Was she crazy? She must be crazy. Gail quickly lay down and pulled her blanket over herself, not wanting to see anyone. After 5 minutes, Sean walked out of the bathroom. She did not move as she waited for Sean to leave. Yet, his footsteps were heading toward her. Gail's heart beat incredibly quickly. What was happening? Was Sean not leaving? "Don't come closer," things she was afraid would happen would always happen. "Isn't it stuffy hiding under the blankets like that?" "Hmm." Sean's voice was heard. Gail ignored him. He waited for a few seconds before reaching out to pull the blanket. "What are you doing?" Gail grabbed it tightly. "It's late. Aren't you going back to Temporally Hall? I'm sleeping here tonight. Why? Gail was stunned. She suddenly lost focus and forgot to hold her blanket tightly. Sean took the chance to pull it aside. He shamelessly lay down on the bed. Gail said, "You." "Hey, hey, Sean. What are you doing?" The bed was very small, and it was only enough for one person. When Sean got on, Gail was forced to the side. He reached out and put his arms around her. "That's all. Good night." Gail was completely speechless. Chapter 259. He was actually squeezing into such a small bed with her. How was he not embarrassed? He was 180 centimeters tall. He could not even straighten his legs. "Sean, get up." Gail tried to push his arms away. "Who wants to sleep on the same bed as you?" His eyes were shut, and he said sleepily, "Are you asking me to sleep on the floor? Go back to your big mansion. You're not there." "I'm not going." Gail was speechless again. The bed was only a meter wide. With two adults on the bed, even turning around was difficult. All she could do was lean into Sean's embrace. That was one thing. Even more embarrassing was the fact that any slight movement would cause the bed to creak. It could not stand the weight of two people. Gail pointed and said, "Gee, go sleep on the sofa. Or I can sleep there." Otherwise, she was probably not getting a good night's sleep that night. She tried to get up as she said that, but Sean's hand pushed down on her stomach. "Sleep, don't move around so much. I'll go to the sofa. I'll sleep there. You're the Golden Prince, Mr. Wood. I'll give the bed to you." Sean still pushed her down. Gail could not get up. Yet, he felt like it was very amusing. It was like he had a squealing mouse trapped under his hands. His lips curled up into a smile. Gail was so angry she punched his chest and turned away from him. Sean hugged her tightly from behind. Sean fell asleep very deeply. His breathing was very even, and his hand remained on her waist, never leaving. Gail's eyes were wide open, not feeling sleepy at all. Before this, she knew that Sean hated her. He tortured her, and she knew how to deal with it and how to survive. Yet, Sean had suddenly changed completely, saying he liked her. Gail was put at a loss at that. Hating someone was very easy, but loving someone was incredibly hard. Gail finally fell asleep late in the night. In her drowsy state, it seemed like Sean had woken up. He seemed to plant a kiss on her head. However, she was too sleepy and could not even open her eyes. By the time Gail woke up, it was already 10 in the morning. The doctor entered for a checkup, and Gail asked, "When can I be checked out of the hospital?" "Oh, let me ask Mr. Wood about that. Is he the doctor, or are you?" "Why do you need to ask him?" "One," the doctor answered, "Mr. Wood told me to take good care of your body so you can prepare for pregnancy as soon as possible." "Ma'am, your body's already recovered, but you still need some time to recuperate fully. You can't rush it." Gail fell silent. Preparing for pregnancy? A child with Sean? What an absurd joke. That meant that she would have to stay in the hospital for as long as possible. Otherwise, the moment she went back to Temporally Hall, Sean would pounce on her. Gail clenched her fists. Looking at the pleasant weather outside the window, Gail said, "Prepare the car, I want to see my mother." The servants asked for Sean's approval before they dared to start preparing the car. Gail deliberately put on some makeup so she would make a good impression on her mother. The nursing home was much quieter than a regular hospital. Gail arrived at the room. Her mother was still sound asleep. She seemed to look skinnier than before. The mother and daughter pair were one of heart. Wendy's eyes started to move as she suddenly woke up. "Gail, Mom, I'm here." Chapter 260. Wendy looked at her. "Am I dreaming? Are you really here?" Gail held her hand and said, "I'm really here, Mom. I came to see you. I miss you so much." Only in front of her mother would she act like a little girl. Only then could she be herself, not needing to be strong. "Gail," Wendy's tears constantly fell. "Mom, why are you crying? Aren't I fine?" Wendy sat up from the bed. "You stupid child. You only ever tell me the good things. How much have you suffered before?" Gail bit her lips. "Mom, everything will be better." Susan had been there before and had told Wendy all about Gail. Both of them knew exactly what had been going on. However, neither of them brought it up. What would come from doing that? Were they supposed to hug each other and cry? "I know you want to make me happy, but, how could Sean ever treat her well?" The most important thing for a woman was her purity and her marriage. Both of those had been destroyed by Sean. "Mom, let's not talk about all of that. I can face it, don't worry. You just need to focus on recovering. Wait until you can see Dad again," Gail said. "Your dad and I have become burdens for you. How could that be? As long as both of you are around, I'll always be your child. I can act like a kid in front of you." Wendy hesitated for a few moments before she asked, "That girl said, ignore her. Don't believe what she says." "Mom, you have to trust me," Gail said. Even if Gail lied, it was with good intentions. Susan would only provoke Wendy. Wendy was a bit fatigued. She started to get tired after talking for a while. She got distracted, and her eyes started to dull. After Gail got Wendy to sleep, she grabbed her phone and walked out of the room. In the corridor, she called Sean. He quickly answered, "Hello, what is it?" "I'm with my mom." "I know." Sean knew all about her movements. "When are you going to give my mother the medicine? Her condition is getting worse. It can't keep dragging on," Gail asked. Medicine was very expensive, and only after Sean's approval would the doctor provide it. She borrowed money from Sam to pay the fees, but the hospital rejected it. Sean's voice was plain. "You know what to do for me to agree to help her. Sean, our blood feud is because of your father and my father's grudges. The death of the child is between you and me. My mother has been a pitiful and innocent woman from the start. Can't you let her off? Her fate is in your hands, not mine." Gail clenched her teeth. All you do is threaten me. I'm just giving you a chance. Normal people aren't even worth my threats, Sean answered. He wanted her to lower her head. He wanted her to give in. He wanted her obedience and her submissio n. Sean said, think about it before you call me again. I'll answer you at any time. After that, he hung up. Gail clutched her phone as she looked outside the window and took deep breaths. After a few minutes, she answered again. Have you thought about it? Sean's tone was light. Yes. What's your answer? Gail said, I won't divorce you. I'll stay by your side. Good. See, it's actually something so simple, Sean said in a much gentler tone. I make sure my mom gets the medicine today. Not a problem. Sean's words were too effective. With one order, it was immediately done.